I'm Avram, a compulsive overeater, and I'm from Greater Seattle Intergroup visiting. I did assembly. It was my first assembly. In Seattle, I'm the treasurer for the Intergroup. That's a new service opportunity for me. And before that, I was doing the website, and I picked up directory somewhere in the middle there, so I'm trying to hand those off so I can do focus on treasurer, and then down the road I want to step up to region, so I have a few years to go in my service roadmap. But what's important to me is how I tie it all together and connect people through technology, and I have a passion for it, and it's exciting and fun for me, and so I'm here to share that fun with you guys. I'm only giving you a handout because writing down websites accurately is a pain in the neck, so I'm giving that to you to say, you know, you don't have to take notes that well, because this is pretty much what we're going to cover up front, unless we go off topic and you have questions that I can answer that aren't on here. So what I've found is that there are a lot of great resources online already. You can go to the seattleoa.org site for Greater Seattle Intergroup. We have a resource page. Region 1 also has a resource page. So if you forget everything, just go to Region 1 and look on their resource page. You have to kind of click around in the tabs to find it. And then it'll relink you to many of these technology sources. What we got is at World Service, they decided that there's a lot of people who are out of range of meetings in regions, so they came up with a virtual region just last year, I think, or maybe 2 years ago, and they enable people in far-flung places around the globe, and you know, there's remote places in the United States as you get farther away from the population centers, and in Canada as well. So those are all eligible to be served. Meetings there are eligible to be served by the virtual region, and which is region 11, and oavirtualservices.org. The webtechoa.org has also come out of World Service, and they offer some kinds of continuity if you're working on a website for an OA meeting or intergroup. Then you'll find that region 1 again on there. Resource page is listed here. I found the Just Love Audio. If you go into the resources tab on Just Love Audio and then to assorted, but there are other great podcasts there. But the ones under assorted address OA and AA and acronyms in 12-step programs. So you can print stuff off there that's helpful for you. And before I get much farther down here, I'm going to ask people to raise their hands and ask me if there's anything I can touch base on, maybe looking ahead on the piece of paper, that isn't on here that you have a curiosity about. So this session was called The Technology of Recovery. I could instead qualify or talk about my background. I could talk about what I think the future of technology is. We could go anywhere with this. So if anybody wants to, yes.
I'm a virtual sponsor on Region 1's virtual sponsorship.
Hi, Joellen.
Hi, I'm Joellen, sorry, recovering compulsive eater. I think for a lot of our folks that are younger, they're really moving towards technology, and I'm not a technology person, but I'm trying to learn in order to help those younger sponsees. So anything you can, like, I don't even know how to Skype.
Okay.
I don't, but I get people applying for virtual sponsorship. I manage the virtual sponsorship website every other month. And the other lady's in her 70s, and I'm 66. And we're getting people who want to Skype and use WhatsApp, and neither one of us even know what those are. We just know they exist, but it's hard for us to find sponsors that can help those folks with the technology that they want and need.
So the question is largely, what are some of the great ways to be a virtual sponsor and the technology that supports that? The ones that they introduced at Assembly were Skype on top and then a program called Uber and then another program called Zoom. U-B-E-R. Because people in Canada, which is served by Region 1, can dial into that virtual conference service, and it's not a long-distance charge into the United States for them, so it isn't a shutdown virtual conferencing system.
Is it Uber that's the card?
No, it's an Uber conference.
Oh, Uber conference.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's nice about Skype is you don't need to make a phone call. Instead, it's an application either on your phone or your computer or your tablet that's independent of having a phone line. So you register with your email address and you give them a phone number, but it's actually voice over IP. In other words, it's technology that rides over a digital service. You just need to be connected it's better to be connected by Wi-Fi because it's going to use your internet bandwidth to connect that Skype application from your system to the other person's system. So if you don't have a video camera, built into your phone, they aren't going to be able to see your face. If you don't have a video camera on your laptop or your computer, they're not going to see your face. If you don't have a microphone on your computer, they're not going to hear your voice. So that's why Skype is popular for the modern smartphone, because they have microphones and cameras, video cameras built in. So you just load on Skype and you press Skype and you register and then you ask, hey, what's your Skype name? And then you can actually schedule a weekly meeting or a daily meeting with your sponsor. And there's scheduling services built into Skype, Uber, Zoom, WhatsApp. I tend not to recommend WhatsApp because there's so many people who use it for non-private services. Same thing with FaceTime and Facebook's Messenger has built-in video conferencing. If you're familiar with it and your sponsor is familiar with it, go ahead and use it. It's just that you have a lot of exposure where your sponsee can say, Jo Ellen is my sponsor and here's her Facebook name, right? So that might be something that you want to avoid. So I like the privacy available in Skype, yeah.
WhatsApp, though, is safe.
It is safe, because I mean, and FaceTime and both FaceTime and Facebook's Messenger video conferencing, they're safe for that actual connection. What I'm saying is a lot of people will see. So if you're using like an OA email address where it says like Loretta OA Region 1 or something, then that's what people would see on Facebook as your listed name, right? So, or in WhatsApp as well, they would see your email address. So unless you're direct connecting, and then you have, you know, privacy, and you can say, I don't want to share out this information. So I'm saying the ones that they recommend, though, are Skype, Uber, and Zoom. You had a question.
I find it to be warm in here this afternoon.
Yes.
I asked them to turn the temperature down, and they won't unlock the breezeway.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Cynthia. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, I've been going to a lot of phone meetings lately, and I spoke to someone yesterday who said that she was on a phone meeting slash, well, she could virtually see the people that were there. It was like connected to a meeting in Minnesota that was live, and then there were people called into it, and then they could... if she spoke and did a reading or whatever, they could see her, and and she could see the people in the meeting when they were up and doing their speaking, and then the people in the meeting could also see them on the phone. I was like, holy cow, how do you do that?
Yeah, so that is Skype. There's lots of commercial services that do that, and as those services mature and they make more of it free, you'll see things like application sharing, where you could share a Word document or a spreadsheet, and you collaborate that in one space on the screen, and you see little faces on the other side of the screen. So you can read a step together. Well, basically, it would be good for step studies or literature reviews if you wanted to do app sharing at the same time. Yes, and if somebody didn't have their camera turned on or had a computer that maybe only had a microphone but didn't have a video cam, then you would just see their phone number or the name that they registered for the meeting. So important thing to know when you're setting up a virtual meeting, and whether it's phone service or video conferencing or hybrid, you want to have people dial in 5 minutes early so you're not dealing with technical issues after we do the Serenity Prayer. It's really helpful. You never know when somebody's got, you know, a new toy and they're going to be fumbling around with it for a few minutes, so ask people to dial in 5 minutes early. Does anybody else have a question? Yeah.
If you're using Skype, like on your cell phone, can you use the, if you have Wi-Fi at home, so you don't use up all your bandwith?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you can also use the Skype at Starbucks and use their Wi-Fi. Hi. You had a question? I'm going to give you the microphone.
Hi, I'm Kathy from Vail, Oregon, Eagle Cap Intergroup. My question is on hybrid meetings. We're very small. We have two meetings in Baker and one in Vail and one in Ontario. So we do what's called a hybrid meeting. So my Tuesday meeting gets together. We have a conference call number, and then we call in. My question, though, is how do we put that information in on the OA website?
So right now you can... register your meeting as a phone meeting, or you can register it as a face-to-face meeting. They don't have a hybrid category, and ideally what you would do is be able to check multiple boxes so that when somebody was looking for a type of meeting, you would show up in multiple categories.
Okay, because we're a face-to-face meeting.
Right.
And right now what's happening is people aren't aware that they can call in.
That's right. So it's kind of word of mouth right now. And you can also list it on your intergroup and hope for the best. Get the word out that way. Yeah, I can't make World Service do it differently.
Right.
We do it differently on Greater Seattle Intergroup. We just say, this is a hybrid meeting. Here's the dial-in.
What do you mean, like on your website itself?
We list all the meetings in our directory page.
Okay. I don't have a Facebook or a website page, so I can't do that.
Right. So World Service, again, we can ask them to do cross-listing and open up the categories.
So a plug, anybody that wants to go to a Tuesday afternoon meeting online or on the phone, see me and I can give you a phone number.
You know, another thought would be to go ahead and register your meeting again with World Service as a phone meeting and just have it registered twice with the same number, same meeting number.
Would that mess up?
No.
Up?
Make them figure it out.
I like that answer.
This very issue was discussed at World Service, and they are working on it. But right now, you can't have two meetings under the same number, but you can have two registered meetings. You have a phone meeting, and you have a face-to-face meeting.
And they just be at the same time.
Just be at the same time. I have a more basic question.
Yep.
I've tried several times to attend an online meeting through the OA website, mm-hmm. and for some reason I'm incapable of doing that. And I click on it and nothing happens, and I'm not sure if there's some magic step that I'm supposed to do.
You're clicking on something and relying on that click to be current and updated and that the back end is working correctly. So is it a phone number that you're supposed to call and then a PIN number that you're supposed to use as access?
No, it's like a number.
A go-to meeting or a Skype meeting or an Uber meeting?
It's just a link on the website.
A link on the website. So I don't know if you have hovered your mouse over it to see if the link itself has been updated, but usually in the bottom of your browser, when you hover over a link, it'll tell you where that link is supposed to go to. Mm. Or you can right-click on it and open it in another page. If you're on a PC, I don't know if you have a Mac or a PC. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple of things you can do. And then, of course, you can ask the webmaster if the link is current and if it works for other people. You can try it opening it up in another browser. So if you're opening it up in Chrome or Firefox, it might be designed to only open in Internet Explorer.
That might be it.
Yeah. And then, again, that webmaster who created that page should be able to tell you what's going on, help you troubleshoot that. I get calls like that maybe once a quarter. And it helps me improve the ease of use of my pages and lets me know that people are using the pages, so that's exciting.
Does GSI have online meetings available through your website?
We have hybrid meetings where people can call in, but we don't have any that are set up for Skype or the
My understanding,
hybrid.
Some people have told me about they go to online meetings where they're typing in their shares, that it's an actual
online really
computer
meeting.
And that doesn't strike a bell?
No, that's like shared. Like a Slack meeting.
I can speak to that because I did that for a while. I left Western Oregon and went to Eastern Oregon, and I did online meetings. There is, I think it's called 12 Steps for COEs. So if it's that one you're looking at, I can't speak to any of the other ones. But there is a link that you click on. But I believe, at least when I did it years ago, we had to download an app on our computer that we could access. It was not super easy to get into. So if you're interested, get with me afterwards, and we can look at it. It is. They're listed on as Find a Meeting, and when you click on it, you're supposed to be able to go through the app called StarChat, but sometimes it doesn't work depending upon your computer application.
Yeah.
And then you have to download a MIRC app to your computer, and then you actually access it through the MIRC app on your computer. It's not super simple to get into if your application doesn't click on that link.
So I'm not just totally.
You're not totally losing it. It's possible that you are clicking on it and it's not doing anything.
And actually, Merck Chat, or the MIRCs, the mobile internet relay chats, they've got a protocol that some firewalls are blocking now. So your security, your antivirus security may say, we closed that port, 10 years ago because people were using it to stealth into the back end. So, I don't know if you know this, there is a place called the recoverygroup.org/WTS, Working the Steps, and they do an OA 12-step every 12 weeks, and then they have a week break, and then they start again. So four times a year they go through the steps, one step a week. It's nice for remote people or people who don't have a sponsor in their meeting, and because you get assigned a sponsor right away. You also have an opportunity to practice sponsoring for just a three-month period. It's on that piece of paper. It's the fourth one down, recovery group/WTS. And they also have all the other major 12-step programs there. It's the first place I've ever seen recipes, but you have to kind of dig to find that. Podcasts, you can do a search in the Apple iTunes store. They're also in any kind of podcast listing service in Google Play for Android, so you're not missing out just because you don't have an iPhone. The Android system hosts plenty of podcast stores, and the Los Angeles Intergroup for Overeaters Anonymous, LAIG, is listed outside of the iTunes store. And you can also just go to their website and download the MP3s and play them on your computer. So if any of that was Greek to you... No. You don't. You can, so that you can play it in your car later when you're not connected to the internet. So you could play it offline. You could download the MP3, or you can just click on it on the website, and your browser will actually play the podcast. But then you need to sit there and listen to it. It doesn't give you that mobility. So if you have an Android phone, there are podcast.
I use my phone strictly for phone calls.
Okay.
It's a smartphone. I'm not smart.
Yeah, so you could take your browser and your phone, ostensibly since I'm sensing it's an Android phone.
Yeah, it's
a
Samsung.
So you take the browser, point it to LAIG, Los Angeles Intergroup, and you'll open up the podcast page. You click on one, it'll start playing. I mean, it's just that easy. And as long as you're connected, it'll keep playing.
Thank you. When it comes to podcasts, is there a way to tag our podcasts, our being OA, so that if someone was searching, they would be the ones that come up?
So when you upload a podcast to the iTunes store, they give you an opportunity to add your tags. They limit it, but no reason why we can't get OA in there and Overeaters Anonymous and 12 Step and things like that. So the Los Angeles Intergroup certainly has they're called metadata tags. But most of the intergroups have not taken the time to upload their podcasts to the iTunes store. Most of them are just hosted onto their website. So you go to their website and you play it in a browser. And so and you can tag your web page all day, and it'll show up in Google over time as more people go to your web page.
In terms of ownership on the podcast, like if, let's say, Region 1 or Oregon in a group wanted to upload their podcast to iTunes and tag them so they're easier to find, is there any proof of ownership, or is it just possession is 9/10 of the law there? In other words, you're uploading it, so they assume you have permission to upload it.
They don't assume you have permission. They're going to ask for a copyright, like you would for a song.
Okay. Yeah. Hmm. And how do we prove that?
You usually have the from the person who you recorded it from.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
Thank you so much.
And I haven't actually done that, but it's a regimented process. So it's not they're not gonna leave you hanging. They're gonna tell you what you need to do.
Okay. Thanks. A couple questions. One thing is I retired 9 years ago and gave up PCs for life, but I have an iPhone and an iPad, so I'm assuming that these most of these things are accessible that way.
Yes, and with the iPad, you can even just say, Siri, go to Los Angeles Intergroup for Overeaters Anonymous and play me, you know, the first podcast you find. If she understands you, she'll, or it will. Yep.
Siri in recovery.
Our intergroup is spread all over Eastern Washington and North Idaho, and sometimes it's hard for folks to get there. And we were in a hospital where they said we could get on the phone, but it never works. So could we have people join us through some of the things you've talked about?
Yeah, so if Lake Country Intergroup posts that they have a phone meeting, which makes your face-to-face meeting hybrid, then from your face-to-face meeting, you would dial into your conference call, and other people would have an opportunity to dial into your conference call. So what I would not recommend that you have a conference call and then not dial into it. So instead, there are many, many existing, well-attended phone conference calls that happen daily. There's two that happen daily that are just plain straight-up OA speaker share meetings. I understand, for your inner group. So what you can do is if somebody has the ability to host that session, that conference session on their phone, then they would just be able to dial in at the meeting and set their phone on the table and maybe next to the chairperson, and that way, or if there was somebody who's technology enabled, they can support the meeting by paying attention to the phone during the meeting. And then the people on the phone can raise their hands. There's little buttons for that. They can just say, excuse me, I have a question. I